worthy parent, worthy of the parent, not provoke them to wrath, but to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents, for this is right. For the kids in here that are old enough to listen to me, I know Noah's not back there taking notes. But I know Lucas and Kaylee and Will and Anna Lynn and Grayson, Brianna, Gabriel, they can all hear and understand what I'm saying. And God said, obey your parents, for this is right. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And that's a command that's given to us as children. I know it wasn't that long ago that Will made that mistake that many of us have made when we were young of trying to tell our mom or dad no for the first time. He tried that out on me, and I told him, I said, son, I don't know how old you have to be to tell your dad no, but when I get there, I'll let you know. But I don't know how old that is, but I know I have not arrived. If my dad tells me to do something, I say, okay. I might give him a hard time about it, but we were riding together not long ago and he told me where to park and I gave him a hard time about it. But you know what I did? I went and parked where he told me to park. It was my vehicle, but I still did what he told me to do because I believe that's what God wants us to do, is to respect our parents, have reverence to them. But this week I want to look at the next couple steps in this with the home. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering, and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as become a saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Now look, verse 4 has everything to do with the conversations that you have. God says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become as saints. Neither, he's adding on with fornication and covetousness, he says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Don't waste your breath saying nasty things. And as we're dealing with the home, mom and dad, the conversations you have or the conversations you're training your children are okay. The conversations you have behind closed doors versus the conversations you have here. Again, you may be teaching your children that one thing's acceptable and one thing is not acceptable. But I'm telling you, the conversations that you have need to be the same in the house of God as they would be at home. Verse 5. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, which is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. I'm going to read that one again. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now notice verse 2 tells us to walk in love. Verse 8 tells us to walk as children of light. Then verse 15 says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I mentioned this again, I believe it was Sunday night again, speaking of the Spirit. Over and over and over and over again in your Bible, you will find the opposite of being filled with the Spirit is drinking of alcohol and being filled with alcohol of some way, shape, or form. And the Bible tells us to be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, verse 22 is where a lot of people would pick up and speak on the home. And it gives some direction for the home, and I'll read through it, but I believe next Wednesday night, Lord willing, we'll deal more with this section of what it means in the home. But I don't think that God wasted His breath in verses 1 through 21. I think there's a lot in that text we need to pick up to fully get a handle of verses 22 through the end of the chapter. I'm going to read them, but again, we'll go back and spend most of our time before verse 22. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. This is still in the Bible. I know that it's not politically correct today, if you will. People want to make it something out to be. But next week we'll deal with what that's saying. That in no way, shape, or form is saying a man's greater than a woman. That's not what it says. There's just an order and there's a structure in the home that God created. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church, for we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now again, we'll deal with verse 33 as the main text next week, Lord willing. What I want to deal with tonight, and hopefully be a help to you, is how to follow God. If you want to lead your children, they need to know who you're following. Husbands, if you want to lead your house and your wife, you want your wife to submit to you, you need to submit to Christ. It's in the Lord. And you can't lead someone in the Lord until you've met with the Lord. There are three things it tells us in three different ways it tells us to walk in the first few verses in Ephesians chapter 5. And I want to deal with each one of those. But let's go down how to follow God. Number one, go back to verse number one. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Parents, do not expect more from your children than you hold yourself to with your Heavenly Father. When I tell Will not to do something, I expect him not to do that. When I tell Will to start to do something, I expect him to start to do that. The same should be our relationship with our Heavenly Father. It says, be therefore followers of God as dear children. Now remember, I read it earlier. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Parents, there'll never be a time in your life when following God's not right. There'll never be a moment, there'll never be a decision in the home, there'll never be a situation that you will come across as a parent, whether it be a father or a mother or whatever the case is, there'll never be a time in your life that you're going to come across something that following God is the wrong answer. Now, when Jesus, think about the disciples, they followed Him for three and a half years in His ministry, almost every single day, everywhere that He went, watched miracle after miracle after miracle, but as soon as they forsook Him and fled, look where they started to find themselves. The situations they started to find themselves back in. I know I've joked about Peter out on the boat fishing naked. It's a little bit weird, but that's what he was doing. He started going back, and then Jesus, He finds them back on the boat where He had picked them up from. Parents, when you stop following God, I'm talking to born-again believers, when you stop following God, you'll find yourself trying to go back to that mess that God's already brought you out of. And you don't need that in your home. Your parents, your children do not need to see that in their parents. They do not need to watch you fall back and fall back. We need some parents in our church that our children can look to and say, Daddy is the same at church as he is at home. And Daddy's consistent Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. There were so many times in my life I've watched a child where it was a very different atmosphere. You ever seen that maybe the mom and dad only correct that kid in front of certain people? And they realize that. And it doesn't take long for you to figure out they're only getting corrected here like they've never been corrected at home because there's a difference. Well, the problem is we hold ourselves to a different standard than we want to hold our own kids to. Until we're subject to God, we can't expect our kids to obey us in the Lord. You can never understand what the Lord wants for you until you spend time digging and determining what God wants for you. It's in the Scriptures how to be a Christian, how to be a father. And you'll never be a Christ-like father, a Christian father, or a Christian mother until you are a Christian yourself. So a lot of times we get the cart before the horse and we start thinking about, oh, I'm the head of the house of the Lord and the wives, oh, I need to submit to my husband. But the problem is maybe neither one of you have ever actually submitted to God. You need to follow the Lord as dear children. Every single day, our children, they're at the ages now where they need our help. And for a long period of time, as children grow, they are very dependent upon their parents. I have found that even growing up, having my own kids, having my own job, well, I need my parents. I love it when I can talk to my parents and when I can spend time with my parents. But I've also realized that sometimes they've got to go about and do their business. They've got to do what they need to do, and they're not always going to be there for me. Okay? But our Heavenly Father will never, ever, ever leave or forsake you. So parents, follow the Lord as dear children. Now, three ways that you'll walk that will help you follow God. The first one, we find it in verse 2. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to be in your house. But I've battled all day. All day I feel like it's just been a battle. God, I need you up here tonight that we can get something from you. I don't want to play church. I don't want to act anything. I want to get help from you. God, would you please take these words, help me to get them out. Touch in all ways and all things. And God, we'll give you the praise, the honor, and glory that you deserve, God. In your name I pray. Amen. I was talking to Kayla earlier, and she asked me how I was, and I feel like I have just battled all day long. It's just been one thing after the other spiritually. I've not had a bad day physically, but it's been a spiritual battle, and I do believe from the bottom of my heart that it's because of the message I'm supposed to preach tonight. There's nothing under attack more in America than the home. They started by attacking marriages and trying to make them optional. Then they came at them and they started killing our babies. They started calling that abortion instead of murder. And increasing more and more and more, they could take that child's life. And then they came after marriage harder. And they stopped having marriage between a man and a woman so that no children could even be born. And they take them out. You will never, ever, ever be able to have children without one man and one woman being involved in that situation. God made it that way. And the home is under attack. And I feel like even up to this moment right now, the devil's attacking this message. And that's why I have to preach it or die tonight. And I'm asking you, please, to pay attention to what God has. I know there's some distractions in here tonight and they're being dealt with. And I believe that 100% is against this message and what God has for us to get. Fellowship Baptist Church needs some strong homes. America needs some Christian homes. Hey, mom, dad, your children need a Christian home. And the only way you're ever going to get that is by following the Word of God. Follow the Lord as dear children. Three ways that you'll walk to do that. Number one, in verse 2, and walk in love. As Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Now, if I asked you tonight, those of you in here right now, and said, would you give your life to save your child's? I hope every single one of you would say, absolutely. It would not be a second thought in my mind if it was my life or Will's or Matthew's or a little baby on her way, my life or theirs, I will lay mine down for them. But let me lay this statement out and it'll help you. Wasting time is wasting your life. Time is what you have. So would you give time to grow spiritually to give your life for your children? You say, I would give my life for my kids. Well, have you given time to the Word? Have you given time to prayer? Let me ask you, hey, Dad, Mom, have you prayed for your kids today? Have you prayed for them today? Did you pray for them yesterday? Or are you leaving that up to someone else? Because loving someone is giving your life, being willing to give your life to that person. Again, often we put physical and carnal and fleshly applications to the Scripture, but we rarely will put spiritual applications to the Scripture. Yes, I would give my life physically for my children, but the physical dangers to my children do not even touch the spiritual dangers after my children. Are you willing to give your life for your kids spiritually? The only way you can get that love for them is spending time in the Word and getting closer to Him. The closer you get to His love is the more love you'll have to put on your children. Now it tells us to walk in love as Christ also had loved us. Again, the expectation you have of your children to obey you. Do you have the expectation of love on yourself to put in your children as God has put on you? Think about the times in the Word of God that you've been given instruction of what to do and what not to do, and you've ignored it and went about your way and did your own thing and didn't do what God wanted you to do. If your own children did that to you, how would you react? Oh, you need a love of compassion and patience. Oh, parenting takes patience, but... without that patience, you cannot have the love that God has for you. You've got to walk in love. If you want to follow God, you must walk in love as He has love. 1 John 4:19 says, we love Him because He first loved us. And I believe wholeheartedly your children will love you because you first loved them. And the compassion and love that you have on your children, the compassion and love you have on each other. Mom and Dad, the kids are not going to treat you better than you treat each other. A father should teach a son how to treat his wife by how the father treats his mother. And the mother should teach their daughters how to treat their husbands as the way she treats her husband. It's with love. And we must walk with love. Oh, Christ had so much love, has so much love for me and you, and patience for each of us. And He walked every day on this planet filled with love for every single one of us. Why can't we do the same with each other? I'll deal with it again next week, but look over in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also has loved the church and gave Himself for it. I speak back again to the fact that we would stand here right now and I would say, if it come down to my life or Ashley's, I would give my life right now. But am I currently giving my life, my time for her? If I'm not getting closer to God, she's being shorted out on the husband that she's to submit herself to. We've got a church full of men that expect their wives to submit to them and they've never submitted to God. And it's a problem. The lack of biblical masculinity is what's killing America and killing our churches. Masculinity is not the problem. The lack of masculinity is the problem. I'm not talking about beating on your chest and doing something stupid and whatever. You ain't got to cuss and be a good old boy and drink beer to be a man. That's not what my Bible says. No, hey, a man, a husband, he loves his wife even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Look at verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loved himself. If Johnny was in here, I'd ask him, say, Johnny, you like green beans? There he comes. Johnny, you like green beans? He will not eat green beans at all. You know why? Johnny likes Johnny. Johnny cares. You know, I ain't going to eat no pickle. God help, I ain't no pickle. The Lord, God hates pickles. He don't eat that mess. People say, well, he made pickles. He made the devil too, but that don't make it good. He don't eat that. I don't like that. You know why I don't eat it? Because I like me. I like taking care of my body. Do you know why I don't throw myself in a fire tonight? Because I care about me. I don't want to do that to me. That's just stupid. What if I took a gun and shot myself in the foot? That would not be very nice. I like my foot. I don't want it. I care about myself. Do you care about your spouse like you care about you? Do you love your spouse like you love you? Do you go, oh my goodness, there are so many things that I do wrong all the time. I'm never right. I'm kidding. No. Ashley is a very clean person. And she don't like it when you wear shoes in the house. And that's like a hard thing for me. Because like if I'm walking in, I got boots on, I'm walking in to get water. I want to just walk in there and get it, walk back out. Why do I have to add the additional time? Take my shoes off, get the water, put my shoes back on, go outside. It just 47 pillows on the couch, can't even sit on it. Don't know why. Why? She likes them. So you know what we do? I take my shoes off. You say, that seems so insignificant. Well, I like the things I like. Shouldn't I like the things she likes? This is not real deep. This is real practical and this is real at home. And it's missing in our homes. America is so selfish. Oh my goodness, it's my stuff and your stuff. No, when you got married, you became what? One flesh. And you must love her like you love yourself. Take care of her like you take care of yourself. Now, God doesn't command the wife to do it because y'all just love things to love them. It's not as hard for a woman to love as it is for a man to love. Y'all look at something, just because it's small, it's cute. I don't know why that. Oh, it's a small Christmas. It's so cute. It's a small Christmas tree that wasn't cute when it was big. It's not cute now. But that's just the way that women are more emotional. They're more love. They're easier to give love. Men, oh, we hold that back all the time. But God command us to have that love. If you want to walk and follow Christ, you're gonna have to walk in love. It was hard for me as a pastor to look at a grown man and say, love you. I didn't grow up that way. That was a little awkward. To this day, to look at my dad and say, love you, I'm like, this is weird. Like, we know we love each other, but we don't have to say it. We know it. Just the way it is. It was different for me. But look how many times Jesus Christ showed affection and love towards others that he loved. Where do you find John sitting? In his bosom. Right up next to him, the love and compassion he had for them. He got down and washed their feet. I mean, I love y'all, but good night, that's nasty. But he loved them so much, he got down and submitted himself and walked in love. If you want to follow Christ, if you want to follow God, if you want the home to be right, the home, the parents have got to walk in love. It's got to happen. Do you know why you make decisions for your children? Because you love them. You don't make decisions for your children because it's convenient for you. It's because you love them. And it's the same with Christians. It's just, if you want a Christian home, you're going to have to be a Christian. If you want to follow God, you're going to have to walk in love. All right, the next two. I won't take as long on those. Walk in love. That's verse 2. But look down here in verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness. Ye were sometimes, not in darkness, ye were sometimes darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. There's some things about the light that I believe are scripturally applicable here. The light exposes truth. Verse 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest. by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he said, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Look over with me in John chapter 3. I guess I should say this while I'm going. You may be sitting here right now and say, I don't have kids. Well, if you're married, it'll help your marriage a whole lot if you get a hold of this. John chapter 3, verse 18, the Bible says, He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? God answers that. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Oh, if you walk in evil in your home, if you listen to things you shouldn't listen to, you walk in ways you shouldn't walk. I'm telling you from absolute personal experience, I'm no saint sitting up here. I'm telling you what, when I find myself listening, doing things I should not do, one of the first things that goes is the Word of God. You cannot read the Word of God and sit in sin. It will reprove you. It will manifest that darkness. It will manifest the sin. It will show that sin very clearly, very blatantly to you. God's Word has power behind it. The Spirit of God will sit there and say, you're wrong. You can't do that. You're wrong. You can't do that. That conscience you have that comes from the Spirit. Oh, when you're walking in the light, when you're making that decision, He'll say, don't do that. Would you be honest with yourself, this social media generation, how many times you typed something up and God made you delete it? He better have at least one or you ain't paying attention. How many times you went to say something, as soon as you said it, God said, shouldn't have said that. How many times you've done something, it's like something inside says, you know you weren't supposed to do that. That's the light. It's shining on it. It's making it really clear so that you can see. If we didn't have all these lights inside here, nobody would really be able to tell what was going on inside the room. But as soon as you turn that light on, you'd be like, oh, they shouldn't be doing that. Oh, that's wrong. Oh, we shouldn't be making this decision. Oh, that's wrong over there. And you can see all the things that are going on. And spiritually speaking, whenever you spend time with the light, when you spend time following the light, it will show what you should and should not be doing. Walking in the light, walking as children of light, the light that's shining out of you through Jesus Christ. You're following Him, walking in that light. Oh, it will show you the right path. It will keep you from sinning. Okay? Go back to the text with me, if you would, over there in Ephesians. It tells us right here, look in verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become as saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. I believe verse 6 is stated in there to say that verses 3 through 5, there's going to be people, and there are people that'll stand up behind a pulpit and say, you can live however you want as long as you believe in Jesus and you're all right. And that's not what the Bible says. Period. The Bible says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. It's not right. Look what else it says. Verse 7. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Then people that do those sins and people that do those things, don't walk with them. How should we walk? For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. If you want to follow God, if you want to have the right home, you need to be walking in love. You got to love your family, love the people around you, but you've also got to be walking in light. You've got to see the things that are around you. The way that you can do both of these is very simple, and all of them will point back to this. It's by spending time in the Word of God. Psalms 119:105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light under my path. If you want to walk with God and know how to follow God, know where to be as a parent, as a husband, and as a wife, and even as a child, if you want to know how to be what God wants you to be, you've got to take the Word of God, and it will direct your paths. You'll be walking down a path, and the Word of God will say, this is the wrong path. You need to make a turn. You make that turn, and then it comes to another spot, and it says, this is wrong. You need to make a turn, and it will guide your steps as if you're walking down a dark path with a flashlight. It also tells us down here, for those of us who want to abstain from sin, we do not want sin anymore in our lives. We don't want that darkness. We want the light. The Bible says in Psalms 119:9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Hey, kids, listen to me. Gabriel, listen up. Brianna, Grayson, listen. Wherewithal shall a what? Young man. There may be people that say you're not old enough to serve God, but God never said that. There may be people that put an age limit on when you're ready to serve God, but it's not in my Bible. If you're old enough to be saved, you're old enough to be spiritual. And if you don't want to sin anymore, you don't want to live with that sin in your life, I wish when I was Gabriel's age and Grayson and Brianna's age, I had decided right then, I'm going to sell out for God right now. I wish I decided back then and said, I don't want the world. I don't want the darkness of the world. I want everything about Jesus. I'm going to pick Him. How am I going to cleanse my way? By taking heed according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. We need to walk as children of light. But then lastly, look at verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Circumspectly means cautiously, with watchfulness every way, with attention to guard against surprise or danger. Parents, we need to be on the lookout when something pops up in our child's life to say, we ain't gonna mess with that. Why? Something ain't right. That's dangerous. We don't need to do that. We ain't going to listen to that. Why? It's going to lead you to think something you don't need to be thinking. Sin never starts with your hands. It always starts with your mind. Stop being so concerned about protecting your family physically and start getting concerned about protecting your family spiritually and mentally. Sin always starts on the inside and works its way out. You always think the thought before you do the action. It's always something that you let yourself... You never start in Sodom. You just pitch your tent towards it. And next thing you know, you're in the middle of it and you lose your whole family over it. Got to walk circumspectly. Got to have some wisdom. Pay attention to what's going on around you. The only way you can know what is of danger and what is not of danger, again, pulls back to the Word of God. There are things in your life that you do not need to have in your life. They will bring danger. There are things in your life that do not seem dangerous, but if you look at them close enough, you have pitched your tent towards Sodom. Let's use some examples. There's absolutely nothing sinful about hunting. I love it. But the moment you start getting invested there and invested there and invested there and start hunting here and church is no longer and church is no longer and church is no longer. And I want you to think about the impact on your life. For those of you sitting here, if your parents had taught you church was optional, then why are we teaching our kids that church is optional? I look back at the way that I was raised and I know my mom, we were here Sunday morning, Sunday night, whatever it took, and it's still rolling. I look at Brother Bill and Miss Colleen, and I think of faithfulness, and I wonder where you guys would be if you'd have been raised this was optional. But see, there was somebody that loved you so much, they walked circumspectly. And they said, not being faithful will lead to danger, and so we're not going to do that. We're going to follow God. Hey, God is faithful. God is faithful. So as dear children, we're going to follow Him. And when He's faithful, we're going to be faithful. And we're just going to follow right behind Him. I don't know where I'm going. The pathway's dark. But as long as I take the Word of God, it's a lamp to my feet and a light into my path. and I'm going to walk in love, and I'm going to love my family. Oh, love your family. Cherish your family. Can you imagine a church that's just filled with love? No contention, no envy, no bitterness, no jealousy. None of that trash seeps its way in, but it's just a church full of people that love. That's like a pretty good place to be. And then walk as children of light. The light is inside you. If you're born again, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? Living on the inside. And let that light thus shine out and people be able to see it and see it in you and your children. Oh, your children can see it. I do not want to win the whole world and lose my own children. I do not want everybody to say, oh, he's just, look at the church he pastors, he's doing so good. My wife's in the home saying, yeah, but I ain't seen him in 2 years. That's not right. That's not my desire. If I can't keep the home right, the Bible says I'm not qualified to be a pastor of a church. We've got to be focused on the home. But I'm telling you something that is just as important and not dealt with near enough is to walk circumspectly. There are just some dangers out there that need to be avoided. There are some things that need to be avoided in our lives. If we want to follow God, don't you know that Jesus, He would go in places and know when it was time to leave? How many times do you find that they were trying to get Him, but He vanished out of their sight? He knew when it was time. He saw the danger. The disciples are out there on the boat. And He comes walking on the water and they are just scared to death. Do you know that it says that if they hadn't have cried out, He would have passed them by? Because He understood the things that we look at naturally and have fear of aren't even close to the things that we should look at spiritually and have fear of. He was walking on that water knowing that in the whole time God was in control. And we'll look around again physically. Oh, we're ready to protect men. Here we are. We're ready to do our job. But what about the spiritual battles? I wonder how many of us would be honest and say that we do not intercede on behalf of our family enough. I wonder how many people in this room would say, no, I know that I walk circumspectly because every single day I call out my family in prayer specifically. Or would we have to be honest and say, maybe I miss a few days? I know that there's some of my family, if I ain't praying for them, ain't nobody else praying for them. Are you walking circumspectly? Are you paying attention to what's going around you? Are you seeing the spiritual dangers that are coming? Oh, prayer would have to protect that. The Word of God would have to protect that. There are just some places that you do not need to go. But while I'm on that, there are some places that you really, really, really need to be. Prayer meeting happens to be one of them. Serving the Lord happens to be one of them. Don't separate. I know that I'm running a few rabbits here tonight, but I'm trying to give you the things God put in my heart. Don't separate serving God from spending time with your family. They're one. Serve God while you're spending time with your family. Don't separate spending time with your, whether it be your wife or your children or your husband or whatever the case may be, your parents. I don't separate serving God from spending time with my parents. You can ask them. We're going to hang out long enough. I'm going to bring Jesus up somehow. I can't help it. It's a well of living water springing up into everlasting life. But you got to walk with love and walk as the children of light. But you got to walk circumspectly, paying attention to what's going on around you. And I tell you what happened, I believe, with the generation between us and the men hanging in on that wall for the most part, is they were blinded and they were asleep. And they didn't see what was happening right before their very eyes. And they thought physically we were okay. And they pitched their tent towards Sodom. And next thing you know, most of their children are living in the dead center of Sodom. Now, even when Lot got out of Sodom, he lost all of his kids to Sodom. You say, but two daughters left with him. You remember how that ended? He may have took them out of Sodom, but he didn't take Sodom out of them. And he lost them. Because he didn't walk circumspectly. He didn't pay attention to his surroundings. He didn't know what was going on around him. He did not see the danger for his own right under his very nose. If you want to be a follower of God and you want to be a leader and who you're supposed to be with God, you've got to walk circumspectly. See what's going on around you. In my closing, the first step in making that happen is taking a personal look at yourself. How's your prayer life? Do you pray like you need God? Or do you pray like He might help if He'd really get a help in there? Do you pray like your family needs God? Well, I hope you pray like your church needs Him, because we does. Do you read like you want to hear what He has to say? Or is it one of those things like, if I get a little bit of time, it's something I'll do on the side that'll help my day out? What's your relationship? Let me tell you what's happened to most of us. The reason why we can't lead somebody else with walking circumspectly is because we ain't even got ourselves walking circumspectly. And now we got... I'm going to be hard on the men the next couple of weeks about the home, but it's about time that we step up and do our job. Okay? It's time that we be the husbands we're supposed to be. We be the fathers that we're supposed to be, the Christians we're supposed to be, the backbone of the church that we're supposed to be, and be able to stand up and say, yes, you can follow me because I'm following Him. And Paul told the church, he said, you follow me because I'm following Christ. Hey, Dad, could you look at your kids and say, follow me because I'm following God? Are you saying, follow me because I'm the man? I got this. Yeah. There's been a lot of people try that. They didn't have it either. How's your life with Him? How are you following Him? If you stand to your feet tonight, that's my invitation. I ask you, if you need to do better, you need to pray tonight, whatever the case may be, I ask you to find your spot in the altar tonight and ask God to help you be a follower of Christ, walk in love, walk as children of light, and to walk circumspectly. Would you mind the Lord tonight?